send a tube of ants to anyone I want. Security technologists look at the world differently than most people. When most people look at a system, they focus on how it works. When security technologists look at the same system, they can't help but focus on how it can be made to fail, how that failure can be used to force the system to behave in a way it shouldn't, in order to do something it shouldn't be able to do, and then how to use that behavior to gain an advantage of some kind. That's what a hack is, an activity allowed by the system that subverts the goal or intent of the system. Just like using Uncle Milton's system to send tubes of ants to people who don't want them. I teach cybersecurity policy at the Harvard Kennedy School. At the end of the first class, I announce a surprise quiz for the next time we meet. I tell the students that they will be expected to write down the first 100 digits of pi from memory. I understand that it is not realistic to expect you to memorize 100 random digits in 2 days, I tell them. So I expect you to cheat. Don't get caught. 2 days later, the room is buzzing with excitement. Most of the students don't have any new ideas. They've written the digits on a tiny scrap of paper, which they hide somewhere. Or they record themselves reading the digits and try to conceal their earbuds. But some are incredibly creative. One student used an invisible ink and wore glasses that made the digits visible. One student wrote them out in Chinese, which I don't read. Another encoded the digits in different colored beads and strung them on a necklace. A fourth memorized the first few and the last few and wrote random digits in the middle, assuming that my grading would be sloppy. My favorite hack was from a few years ago. Near as I could tell, Jan was just writing the digits down in order, albeit very slowly. He was the last one to finish. I remember staring at him, having no idea what he might be doing. I remember the other students staring at him. Is he actually calculating the infinite series in his head? I wondered. No. He programmed the phone in his pocket to vibrate each digit in Morse code. The point of this exercise isn't to turn my class into cheaters. I always remind them that actually cheating at Harvard is grounds for expulsion. The point is that if they are going to make public policy around cybersecurity, they have to think like people who cheat. They need to cultivate a hacking mentality. This book tells the story of hacking, one that's very different from what's depicted in movies and TV shows and in the press. It's not the story you'll find in books teaching you how to hack computers or how to defend yourself against computer hackers. It tells the story of something much more endemic, something fundamentally human, and something far older than the invention of computers. It's a story that involves money and power. Kids are natural hackers. They do it instinctively because they don't fully understand the rules and their intent. So are artificial intelligence systems. We'll get to that at the end of the book. But so are the wealthy. Unlike children or artificial intelligences, they understand the rules and their context. But, like children, many wealthy individuals don't accept that the rules apply to them. Or at least they believe that their own self-interest takes precedence. The result is that they hack systems all the time. In my story, hacking isn't just something bored teenagers or rival governments do to computer systems, or that less ethical students do when they don't want to study. It isn't countercultural misbehavior by the less powerful. A hacker is more likely to be working for a hedge fund, finding a loophole in financial regulations that lets her siphon extra profits out of the system. He's more likely in a corporate office or an elected official. Hacking is integral to the job of every government lobbyist. It's how social media systems keep us on their platforms. In my story, hacking is something that the rich and powerful do, something that reinforces existing power structures. One example is Peter Thiel. The Roth IRA is a retirement account allowed by a 1997 law. It's intended for middle-class investors and has limits on both the investor's income level and the amount that can be invested. But billionaire Peter Thiel found a hack. Because he was one of the founders of PayPal, he was able to use a $2,000 investment to buy 1.7 million shares of the company at $0.001 per share, turning it into $5 billion.